But thank God. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and open to the book of Philippians. Now, throughout the years, I know that at camp you've probably heard studies on Philippians and back in your home churches, and it's a really, a neat little book. It's a book that we can wrap our hearts and our minds around, and it's, you know, there are different outlines that you think of when you think of the book of Philippians. I know that we talk often about joy, right? How it speaks much about joy and rejoicing and how many times that word is used. And the interesting thing about that is because this person that was rejoicing and encouraging us to rejoice was actually in prison. He was in chains. He says, I was chained like a criminal because of the gospel. And so there's this theme of joy, rejoice evermore, right? So that's not in that one. But there's much in the book of Philippians about rejoicing. And then there's also the thought of Christ being our life. That's chapter 1, right? And Christ being our mind, chapter 2. And Christ being our goal, chapter 3. And Christ being our, what's the last one? Strength, right? You have these different outlines. But this time, my attention was called to this word gospel. And the word gospel is used quite often in the book of Philippians, especially in chapter 1. The gospel. I had mentioned this earlier in the week, but I'll ask it again this morning because many of you were not here earlier in the week. So, what is the gospel? And the answer is, what is the gospel? You've heard that before, right? Where are the gospels in the book in the Bible? What books in the Bible are the gospels? Okay, if I ask the question, you can answer. It's okay, you know. I'm not a teacher, but I mean, you know, by trade, but I like to ask questions from time to time. So, what is the gospel? The good news. The good news, and who said it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, it's the good news about Jesus. About Jesus. All right, but it's more than that. It's not just the good news about Jesus, but it's what the good news about Jesus means to me. That makes it good news. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, we have the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are a historical record. They are absolutely true. It happened just the way it says in the Bible, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that he walked this earth, that he did wonderful miracles, that he was a great teacher, and that he died upon the cross as the Son of God to save us from our sins. Amen. See, that's the good news. See what I just said? That makes it the good news. Not the fact that he died on the cross. Yes, that's the fact. But the good news is he did it for who? For me. For me. I was trying to give an example again for you. You guys like history? Anybody like history? Like this? Yeah, a little bit. You know, when was the Declaration of Independence signed? 1776, right? The historical facts, all right? Let me give you another thing. Do you know what date the French Revolution happened? You know when the French Revolution took place? Now, some of you probably do. But for most of us, it doesn't really matter to me what they did in France. Because what they did in France doesn't affect me. So it could be good news for them. It probably wasn't good news for everyone. But the American Revolution, that's good news to me. Why? Because I feel the effects of that to this very day. Did you know that? Now, you can complain about America all you want. Just don't complain to me. Because I thank God that I was born here in America and that God has blessed this land. And so we ought to focus on what God is still able to do in America and what he wants to do. And so, but what happened in 1776 impacts me. It's right there. You see, the answer was right there. That's how come I knew. Right? Because I have freedoms that were purchased for me because men and women and fought and died so that I could live in a free country. And so you understand that? So that's history, but it's real to me. It's good news to me. Right, Reed? Yes. All right. So something that affects my life from the story of Jesus makes it the good news, makes it the gospel. So I ask you to open up your Bibles to the first chapter of Philippians. And we're just going to trace maybe not all of them that are in the first chapter, but the first reference to the gospel we find, if we begin at verse 3, just give me a moment. It says this, I thank my God, Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. There's that word joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the very first day until now. Did you see that reference to the gospel? The first thing he says, now I know we have different translations, and the word that you might have in your translation is not necessarily fellowship, but the idea is that we are participating together in this gospel. You see, one of the reasons that we're together here at camp and in fellowship is because of the gospel. Maybe the only reason. It's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we come together in a place like this. And we gather together back in the city or wherever your home is. You come together because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has done something for us, each of us, that have made us part of his family. And that's good news. I mean, just look around. Aren't you happy to be in this family of God? Amen. We might not all be the same, certainly. But we all have come to the cross and knelt and said, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. What you did for me on the cross, I receive by faith, the cleansing that you purchased. And so that brings us into the family of God. It brings us into fellowship. It brings us into this participation of the gospel. But I think another thought is that we together then share the gospel, not only among ourselves, but we share it with others. We want others to hear the good news. We want others to respond to the good news. Now, here's another illustration. If I handed you a piece of paper and on it said, if you go to the grocery store, you get a free bag of potato chips. Now, if I give that to William, I said, William, this is great news. I just went and I got my free bag of potato chips. That way you could say, well, yeah, not really interested. And he could put it aside, right? And then he would miss out on participating in the good news. But if William is smart, I know he is, he's going to take that, he's going to go to the store, and he's going to get the potato chips. I mean, that's just a simple illustration. But what I'm trying to say is the good news is to share it, right? If I kept that to myself and put it in my pocket, well, I wouldn't be a real good friend to William. And how about us? Are we actively participating in spreading the gospel to others? The good news? He builds upon that as we'll go through this chapter. But just now look down at the seventh and eighth verse. See if you find another gospel in there. I know some of you are already looking ahead. Well, let's read the verse in between. We read this last night. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now there are two things he says about the gospel. He talks about the defense, do you see that? And the confirmation of the gospel. But there's another thing that's part of that verse that I think is really important. He says, even though I am in chains, I am ready to defend and to confirm the gospel. You know, I found these things outside my door this morning. I thought I'd bring them along. You want to put this on? Want to wear this? No? I got some other ones. Maybe someone else would like these. This is a different style. These are silver. Wow, this is a long one. Now, why do I bring the chains? Well, do you like chains? I mean, would you like to be in chains? Would you like me to put these on you? Yeah, Brent, yeah, you would, right? Yeah, you're a Wolfogel, I know. But when you think about chains, are they pretty? I mean, these chains are not pretty. And what is chains really, what do they really stand for? I mean, you're in prison, right? You're a prisoner, you're in bondage. You can't go where you want to go. You know, they put a chain around you and they tie it to something, maybe the wall or something, and so you're restricted. Can't go where you want to go. Movement's not as easy. And the chains that Paul is talking about are not chains of sin. He's not saying I'm enchained with sin. He was actually a prisoner for the sake of the gospel. And so, what do you think his chains maybe signify for us? Well, again, his movements were restricted. He wasn't able to go maybe where he wanted to go. But the wonderful thing, or the thing that amazes me, is that he was there in God's appointment. He was in those chains because God had allowed him to be in those chains. You know, you could say, and maybe if I was Paul, I would say, Lord, you know, I could be doing a lot of stuff for you if it wasn't for these chains. But here he says, even in spite of my chains, or because of my chains, I am in a position to defend and to confirm the gospel. Now, if you remember the story of Paul, it was made very clear to him. God spoke very clearly to him what the calling was upon his life when he met the Lord on the Damascus Road and then went to the house, and Ananias came to him and said, you are a chosen vessel, Paul, and you're going to speak my name before kings. But there was something else he added. And you don't realize how much you are going to suffer for my name's sake. And so Paul finds himself in jail, imprisoned. Now, this thought of defending the gospel, I think that's he was given an opportunity to speak. You know, they would bring him on trial, and you can read this in the book of Acts, how he would defend himself. I mean, not saying I'm innocent, you know, but he would give his testimony. And he would tell why he felt that this good news about Jesus was really the fulfillment of what was found in the Old Testament. This is what God planned all along. And he was able to defend the gospel. Why? Because he had grown up in that Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee. He was a learned scholar. But light shone on his heart and made those things real. He said, no, this is about the Messiah. This is about Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment. And so he eloquently defended the gospel. And we ought to be able, beloved, to know what the Bible says. And not only to know what the Bible says, but know how that relates to you and to me and to life today. It has to work, you know, in school. It has to work at home. It has to work when we leave camp. This gospel has to mean something to us. It has to matter to us. And then this sort of the confirmation of the gospel. He puts those two thoughts together. He says the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And I had to think about that. How do I confirm the gospel? I mean, it's done. What Jesus did is it's done. He did a complete work. It's finished. And yes, I receive that work. But so how do I confirm the gospel? Well, as we read on in that verse, it talked about grace. It talked about God's grace. And I think that there must be some connection there. And so this is what I think. I think the fact that Paul could rejoice, even though he was in prison, even though he was in chains, because his rejoicing was an evidence or a confirmation that the gospel was real. Do you understand? We could say a lot of things. We can profess a lot of things. But unless we live the gospel, unless we're a testimony, our lives are a testimony to the fact that God's grace is sufficient. That's how we confirm it. You know, people will look at our lives, and sometimes I think our lives speak much more loudly than what we say. I think Paul is saying, I've received God's grace. His grace is real. He is with me. And so in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my situation, I can rejoice. And in doing so, the gospel, the good news, was confirmed. People could see it. And he goes on and says, you know, everybody in the house knows about it. The palace guard knows about it. They've heard the gospel. They've seen that the gospel is real. So maybe a challenge for us is, you know, if you were the gospel, so to speak, and you are, would people know that Jesus is real? There's something different about you. What is it? How come you can rejoice when things aren't going your way? You see, for me, the chains symbolize, you know, yes, there may be physical limitations. You know, there are people I know, there's a person very dear to me right now who I know is somewhat in chains because of physical limitation. And they can't do what they want to do. They can't do what they'd like to do for God even. You feel like, I can't do it. I'm in chains. I can't move. I can't do. I'm not as young as I was before. And God allows these chains to come into our lives. Physical things that come. And there are also emotional things. You know, did you feel anything? I mean, do you feel things? Like you feel happy, you feel sad? I mean, maybe more happy than sad. What I'm trying to say is that we are made to feel emotions, right? And things come in life. Maybe disappointments, discouragements, whatever it may be. And they can be chains. They can be chains upon our spirit. Past hurts. Guilt. God wants to free us from that. But he also can use those chains to cause us to draw closer to him and to bring those cares and those disappointments and those sorrows to him and say, God, I don't know why you allowed this, but it's for your glory, and I want to take it from your hand, and I want to accept the grace that you give. Here's a quote, it's not mine, so don't put my initials by it. But it says this: God will either break your chains or he will use them for his glory. God will either break your chains or use them for his glory. Yeah, I think of the Apostle Paul again. How many in Corinthians he tells us three times I ask God take this thing from me. Three times. Lord, this is difficult. It's hard. It hinders my work for you. Remove it. This thorn in the flesh. And what was the response? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So again, I trust that your life is not filled with discouragement or sorrow or things to weigh you down. That's not what I'm saying this morning. We don't have to ask for those things. But if God has allowed a chain to come into your life, something that maybe you feel is restricting you, hindering you, well, bring it to Him. And either, Lord, break this chain or use it for your glory. Lord, I want to receive your grace so that my life will be a confirmation of the gospel. Just one more. And we find it in verse 12 to 18, and it's really a similar thought. It's maybe a little bit more specific about Paul's situation. He says, but I would that you understand, brethren. See, now he's trying to explain the thought about chains. I would you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, so Paul is saying, you look at me, you say, oh, you know, I wish Paul was free. Let's sign a petition. Let's send it around. Free Paul, free Paul, free Paul, right? Let's send it to Rome. He says, no, I want you to know that's what's happened to me. What maybe seems to you as an unfortunate thing or something that the enemy has done, I want you to know that it's rather taken place for the furtherance of the gospel. So that in my chains in Christ, or so that my chains in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that a wonderful result? There was an encouragement that came. Well, Paul is taking this joyfully. Paul is saying this is, you know, it's in God's plan. And he's encouraging us to continue the work that he's begun. And so they begin sharing the good news. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I do therein rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You see, the end result was that now these chains, this difficult place, this situation that some people would say, well, that can't be God's will for you. You must have done something wrong. No. God allowed that for the furtherance of the gospel. Christ is preached, and I rejoice. Christ is glorified, I rejoice. And so I trust that this morning we are encouraged. We're encouraged. Don't look at the chains maybe that God has allowed in your life as something to drag you down. But by the grace of God, allow Him to use them for the furtherance of His kingdom. Everyone in the palace has heard about Paul. Everyone knows that that man is, there's something in that man. I need to find out what it is. He's got a joy in spite of his circumstance. There's another little quote that Watchman Nee wrote. You might not know who that is, and I don't know if I can really tell you his story in a short way, but he ended up, he was a Chinese Christian pastor, and he ended up in prison for his faith. He, before that, had had such a wonderful ministry, and he wrote books, and he traveled, and so on, and yet he said this: God dares to put his greatest ambassadors in chains. Now, he wasn't referring to himself, but he was referring to the Apostle Paul and others who, for the sake of the gospel, are willing to accept what God allows in their lives. You know, we have to view these things as really coming through or from his hand. If you truly believe that you are in God's hands and you've committed your life to him, then the things that he allows come our way. As we read in Romans 8 the other night, for our good and for his glory. And so God dares to put his greatest ambassadors in chains. And just think of the blessing that Paul's imprisonment has meant to you and to me. If I have it right, I believe Philippians was a letter, obviously written from prison. 1 and 2 Timothy, I believe they were also written from prison. And others of his writings that come to us today and that bless us today. His chains still bless you and me. Why? Because we have his writings that encourage us. Encourage us this morning. You see, in Christ we never lose. To say it that way, you can't lose. You give yourself to him, you can't lose. Because he gives himself to you. And he gives you his joy. And he pours his grace into your life. And he's with you. And yes, we may not have asked for it to be just this way. And maybe if we chose, we would have chose a different path. But God knows what's best. His ways are best. We don't always see that. As I said the other night, we might never really understand why. But that's not really the end of it. Because in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our trial, we take his grace and allow his life to shine forth from us. And the gospel goes forward. And so I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that I can receive encouragement from the chains that held the Apostle Paul. And there are others who will receive blessing from the chains that God maybe allows you to carry or to wear for his name's sake. God is able to redeem what the enemy meant for good. I'm sure the enemy said, well, if I can get Paul in prison, I tell you, that'll be great. That'll be great. You know, then he can't preach so much. And he didn't realize that what the enemy meant for evil, God intends and works for good. And so I'll say it one more time. God will either break your chains, and he will. You know, you can read on, and you can see how the Apostle Paul says, you know, I'm going to be delivered soon. But right now, I'm in this situation, and God's allowed it, and so I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to believe that it is in his will for me. Either he breaks our chains or he uses them for his glory. So let's just come this morning and just again take that grace that God gives. You might say, well, right now life is good. Well, praise God. Praise God, life is good. But you know what? If you live long enough, you'll realize that there are trials that God allows in our lives. But through it all, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Let's bow our heads. Something I'd like you to do is just talk to the Lord and just say, Lord, you know, interpret this to me. Interpret your word this morning to my heart. Help me to see what you are trying to say, desirous to say to me. Dear Father, we're so thankful for this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that you have made the gospel real to each one of us. And Lord, you've called us to share that gospel with others. You've called us to defend that gospel, to confirm that gospel by our lives. And so, Father, we take grace this morning. Lord, we're not able, but Lord, you are sufficient in every situation. And so we want to receive the grace that you give today. Jesus, you give yourself to us. And so, Lord, again, we open our hearts. Lord, forgive us for the times we grumble and complain at your will. Forgive us, Lord, when we question your love and your nearness to us. We don't understand, Lord, why you have chosen to take us in our imperfections and our weaknesses and use us to be witnesses of your power. But Lord, we know that you are able to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would enable us and will enable us to be those who spread the gospel by word and by deed. Lord, we see that there is a blessing in submitting to your will, and to submit joyfully, to receive from your hand the blessings and seeming trials and things that would maybe restrict us. Thank you, Lord. You know what's best. And so we trust you, Lord. We trust you. Lord, I believe that you also bring us out into a larger place in God. As we receive your grace in the valley, in prison, as it were, you bring us out then into a larger place. And we know you better, we understand your heart. We experience your comfort and your love, and we say thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of Spirit there, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Peace, perfect peace. Thank you, Jesus. Just in closing, I'd like us to sing together number 68 in the white book, number 68. Just before Brother Paul starts to play, this is a song that was written by a woman in chains. And she wasn't physically in prison, but for many, many years she was confined to her bed, an invalid, not able to get out, get about. And yet the song that she leaves us is, "He giveth more grace." Again, I don't know if she fully understood why God led her that way. But in the midst of her trial, long trial, she received grace And so this song comes to us as an encouragement again. Let's take His grace this morning. Realize that His supply is never exhausted. Let's stand as we sing. Brother Jeff, come please.
This morning in great need of your grace, but we are thankful that you are the best giver. Lord, you do not withhold any good thing, Lord. Yes. And Lord, we receive your grace this day for all that you have for us, Lord, for all that you want to make out of us, Lord, through your grace. Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, to be used for your glory. Lord, to have our eyes looking towards you. Lord, so write these things in our heart this day. Lord, write your word into our heart. Lord, I pray that you would keep us the remainder of this day in fellowship with you and in loving fellowship with each other. We pray this in your name. Amen.